A parsha like Tazria is really, I mean, in a way, it's like a nightmare for a rav. Because it's very difficult to talk about the parsha. It's very technical halachas. And, I mean, Sefer Vayikra in general, Sefer Vayikra is like a Shulchan Aruch with regard to the Hilchos, Karbonos, and Tumah V'Tahara. That's Taras Kahanim. But I think that the main thing in order to really be able to understand the ideas of the Parsha is really to uncover a method. I mean, a method of deciphering and interpreting the Torah in order to gain access to the ideas that the Torah portrays. Because every pasuk and every word is really is chachmas Hashem and contains infinite chachma. But the difficulty is to find the derech and the approach to unlock it. And that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to just today. I'd like to show an approach to the parshias like we have in Sefer Vayikra, through which a person can really find a way to discover the ideas in the parsha, to uncover the ideas in the parsha. So the parsha, of course, has halachas that are negev to Zman HaMikdash, essentially. Zman HaMikdash. And I want to show also that there are ideas in the Torah and the halachas that even though they are correct and accurate and true and are tied to mitzvahs, but really the idea has its own life outside of the mitzvah. Okay, you see what I'm getting at. Okay, you know, we mentioned last year we dealt with the Rambam, that we said the Rambam begins his sefer with pasuk Hashem Ad Hashem Kelola, and I think I gave many shurim on the idea of Hashem Ad Hashem Kelola. That why the Rambam begins his sefer with that pasuk. Okay, but it's interesting. There's another pasuk that the Rambam begins with. The Rambam begins the sefer with another pasuk, and in the Yad HaChazaka it begins with two psukim. First pasuk is B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, which we said for some reason the print is deleted. I don't know why. But they left the second pasuk. Second pasuk, I like the second pasuk better. Oslo Evosh Ba Biti El Kol Mitzvah Secha. It's from Tehillim Kuf Yates. So the Rambam apparently felt that these two psukim really comprise the very essence of everything he's going to set forth in his sefer in the Yad HaChazaka. So as I said last year, I gave many shurim in B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam and what the ideas and the Yesodei Yesodos and that's everything is contingent upon that. But the second pasuk, Ram wasn't satisfied with one pasuk, he has another pasuk. Oslo Evosh Ba Biti El Kol Mitzvah Secha. So what do I mean? What is it? Just because it has the word mitzvos, that's why the Rambam chose it. I mean, there are many, many psukim. Well, why did the Rambam choose this pasuk as opposed to other psukim? Many other psukim that talk about the Pikudei Hashem, Mishram Asam Chalev. I mean, Mitzvah Hashem Bar Miras Einoyim. There are many, many psukim that talk about the mitzvos and how important they are and how delightful they are and how they give a person perfection. But you see, the Rambam left all those psukim and he just chose one. Oslo Evosh Ba Biti El Kol Mitzvah Secha. I think the reason is because in this pasuk the Rambam found a key that really gives an idea uncovers an idea about the mitzvah Hashem. About the mitzvah Hashem. Now, at first sight, when you take a look at the pasuk, there's something strange about the pasuk. What is strange about the pasuk? What's the difficulty in the pasuk? There's difficulty in the pasuk. Yeah, what does it mean, Oslo Avosh? What does it mean that I won't be ashamed? I mean, where is the busha? And Babiti al kol mitzvaysecha. So the question is, it means that there's an embarrassment there. If a person doesn't know the mitzvah, what does that have to do with an embarrassment? I mean, let's say a person spent his whole life, there's a lot of mitzvahs, tayag mitzvahs. A person spent his whole life, you can spend your whole life, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda spent his whole life in the Zigan, learning the Zigan. So a person could spend his whole life, I mean, in one area, Moed. Matter of fact, I learned Mishnayos Moed, Balabas Hesem, I learned Mishnayos Moed many times. He says, I didn't perfect it though. I didn't perfect my knowledge in that area. So he said, should I instead learn all the Mishnayos? You see, or should I try to perfect myself in Mishnayos Moed? So Chaim Volozhin answered him. He says, "Dai lecha shetia baki b'seder echad." He says, "Better perfect yourself in Seder Moed, than to have a good understanding of Seder Moed, than to have a weak understanding of all the Mishnayos." So I mean, a person could spend their whole life in one area. So what is the question is, what does it mean, Oslo Avosh Ma'abiti Okol Mitzvah Secho? I didn't get a chance. The person only lives a short lifespan compared to the amount of learning that there is in the Torah. I mean, it's a very short lifespan. Because even the greatest Hachamim, very few of them ever even arrived at the point, like the Rambam describes, where a person has a right, the Rambam says, to be Osek and Tzarchei Tzibur, and to be mevatel from the Beis HaMedrash. He learns that's the Pshat HaSar Batlan. So Batlan means that there are 10 people, the very unique people, that they're on a level that they can leave the Beis HaMedrash. Because they reach the level of learning where to them they know Kalat HaRakula, and now it's a matter of just thinking and processing and learning. It's a different level, different type of learning. So the Rambam says that unless you reach that level, he says, you really can't be mevatel yourself from the Beis HaMedrash. So, but there are very, very few people that ever reached that level. I mean, from the time of Bria Zola. So, and on that level, of course, the person that reaches that level, he's still engaged his entire life in the Chachmas Torah. So what does it mean, Oslo Avosh Babiti Okol Mitzvah Secho? What is the Busha? Person who says, Eter Banish Lam, look, I mean, that's it. Short lifespan, big Torah. Lo alecha melacha ligmar via Torah shorli vatal b'mena. Can't finish it. I believe Rav Moshe Zatzal used to say, it's impossible to learn Shas Biyah. It's impossible. That's it for him. So you can learn Shas, you know, have a yediyah in Shas, and you can be ma'ayin in many, many areas, but the whole Shas Biyah, he said, is impossible. Yeah. So what is it? Echad Amar V'Echad Lamed. So why does it say Oslo Avosh Babiti Al Kol Mitzvah Secha? Apparently, if I don't know all the mitzvahs, so there is a busha. I mean, what is the busha? Person spent his whole life learning. What's the busha? That's really the question about the pasuk. What does it mean, Oslo Avosh? Yeah. It really, in truth, I mean, interesting thing, yeah. So when you take a look, the pasuk is from Kuf Yud Tes in Sefer Tilim. So in Sefer Tilim, if you look at Sefer Tilim, it's always a good idea when Ram quotes a pasuk, and a Chazal quotes a pasuk, to look around the pasukim before. Because the pasuk is, pasuk fits in some way. You have to see where it fits in. I mean, so if you take a look at Kuf Yud Tes, it starts off Ashrei Smimei Derech HaHolchim B'Soras HaRishem. Okay, then he says, so that's really the first pasuk. So the first pasuk says that the Tmimei Derech means those that live in the proper way, the proper life. Then he says, Ashrei Notzrei Edosov, the ones that keep his now already, he's going on from the Tmimei Derech, he's going on to Edosov, which is basically mitzvahs, okay? And then he says, so he jumps, because Tmimei Derech says perfection. So there's perfection, I mean, even before Matan Torah. So Avraham Avinu was a tamim. I mean, okay, mitzvahs mila, but how many mitzvahs did he have? But so perfection, I mean, we all that the perfection is a person can attain perfection, it would seem a rare individual, but perfection would be a different topic than mitzvahs. It would seem on the surface perfection is one thing, but where do mitzvahs fit into the framework of perfection? So you see, he jumps from perfection in man, Ashrei Tmimei Derech, Aholchim B'Saras Ad Hashem. Then he says, Ashrei Notzrei Edosav. And then he adds, B'chol Lev Yidrashuhu. B'chol Lev Yidrashuhu. So what does that show? He says, what does that show? It shows that a person that is Doresh Hashem must make recourse to the mitzvahs. Aflo Falu Avlo Bidrochov Holochu. So they followed, they abstain, so Rashi explains, Achlo follow Avla, Shreyem, Am Shreyem, Im Kol Zebahem, Bidrochov Halochu, Av Pishlopo, but nevertheless, Bidrochov Halochu, Afa Pishlopolo Avla, even though they didn't do anything, they removed themselves from evil, Ein Schorem Sholem, El Inkim Bidrochov Halochu. In other words, Vechein Oma, Sur Merov Vasetov, even though you may refrain from evil, so without the positive, I mean, the Ramban explains the mitzvah losas and mitzvah say. So without the positive, the individual has not reached any level of a true level of perfection. True level of perfection. It's a level, but it's not the true level of perfection. So how do you attain the true level of perfection? So he says, Ata tzivisa pikudecha lishma ma'od. So now he says the method of attaining the perfection is from pikudecha, from the mitzvah Hashem. Then he says, Achalai yikonu derochai lishma chukecha. Achalai, Rashi explains, he says, Achalai means, he says, the Aleph is a part of it, and then he finally says, Achalai Adoni Lifnei Anovi Asher B'Shon. He says Loshna Achaloyus is Shuyit. We don't know what that word means. It's in French. Ka'ado Ma'omar, Rashi explains. Ka'ado Ma'omar Halavai Vayisi Novi V'Chacham. Achalai Halavai Yikonu Drocha Lishmachu Kecha. Amazing thing. That's what David Melch says. Halavai, I should be able to do it. Then he says Oz Lo Evosh. That's where the pasuk comes in. Ba'abiti al kol mitzvah secha. Okay. Yeah. And the following, and the psukim go on. I mean, the same thing. Odcho b'yosha levov, belomdi mishpatetz et kecha. Again, the mishpatim, and the edos, and the mishpatim, and the mitzvahs, and the pikudim. Eschu kecha eshmor al tazveni ad ma'od. Okay, so you see the mitzvahs, the whole perek ties mitzvahs and perfection are tied together, synonymous. Then he says, "Belibi tzafanti imrosecha laman lo echta loch, boruch atar Hashem lamdeni chukecha." So you see, apparently, that David HaMelech was, to David HaMelech, there's something here besides the technical performances. He's talking about all the mitzvahs. It means Yoledes, Mitzorah, the Kabbonis, and the everything, apparently, everything in the Torah, according to David HaMelech, is tied to perfection. It's an interesting thing. Everything is tied to perfection. So, Oz lo evosh, now you understand what the pasuk means. Oz lo evosh b'habiti kol mitzvosecha, what the pasuk means is that if in truth I'm searching for the correct way of life, so I must make recourse to every mitzvah, because every mitzvah reveals a perfection in man. That's what he's saying. Basically, that's what the parak is saying. It's an interesting thing. And David Melech says that don't think that the technical mitzvahs are simply a shulchan aruch of rules and regulations, which, of course, in their own sphere, have tremendous chachma. But don't think that that's all they are, because if that's all they are, in other words, if all the mitzvahs are is the most ingenious system of regulations for man possible because it's Mipi Agvora, but that's all there is, I mean, then the whole parak of Tilm doesn't make any sense. So you missed a few mitzvahs. The only question is, did you spend your time and your effort learning? And did you learn some of the mitzvahs? So you learned Bava Kama, you learned Bava Metziah, Bava Basha, fine, that's all you can do. What's the busha? But you see that David HaMelech is saying something else. He's saying that that is not all there is in mitzvahs. If that's all there is in mitzvahs, ain't a chanami. Then Reb Chaim Volozhiner's advice was perfect. So you're better off being a bucky in one seder and seder moed than to have superficial knowledge in shishas dar. That's what that answer is correct. But that answer is correct with regard to the limit of halacha. But you see that David HaMelech is saying that there's something else here. That Ashrei Smimei Derech means the ones that want to live the perfected life, there is an unbelievable fountain of knowledge in understanding the mitzvahs, because every mitzvah is tied to perfection, if you could understand it. That's why he says, Gal Einai Vabita Neflos Mitarasechon in the very same parak. The parak is an unbelievable parak, because the parak really goes again and again in so many different ways and so many different facets and features and dimensions to the benefit to what Torah really is. And it means that there are hidden areas in Torah that reveal unbelievable chachma in every area, besides the chachma in the structure of the mitzvah. Like we said, that every mitzvah has unbelievable chachma in the very structure. The psul of a lulav and of an esrig and the halachas and lulav a gozel and everything. Infinite chachma. And you can't serve God without chachma. It's not possible. And that's why every maisa we do is laden with chachma. Chachmas Hashem. But that's only one dimension. There's another dimension. Oslo Evosh Babitya Komutz Vesecha means if you didn't learn all the mitzvahs, it means you missed out on the whole derech of perfection. Because in the mitzvahs lies concealed the derech for a person that is Doresh Adeshem. See, that's why he said so right at the beginning. Ashrei Notre Edosov B'chol Lev Yidrashu. You see? Ashrei smimei derech ha'holchem b'saras ha'Hashem. So Oslo Evosh b'abitya kol mitzvah secha means that if you don't learn all the mitzvahs, and he doesn't mean all the mitzvahs in terms of halacha, he's not talking about the halacha. The halacha is one realm, but there's another realm in mitzvahs where the mitzvahs themselves are the most unbelievable guidance for man in terms of hadracha, of how to live his life. Then that's what he means. The Oslo Evosh is a reference to that aspect of the mitzvahs. Whole different dimension. Oslo Evosh, because if I know all, it means to say that if I know all of God's mitzvahs, then I know the whole Derech HaChayim and the whole method of attaining perfection is complete. That's really what the pasuk means. That's why the Rambam used that pasuk. The first pasuk is the Shema Hashem Kel Olam, which is the Yesod Yesodos, and that's where everything aims. Every word in the Torah aims towards that one goal of Yedias Hashem. And that's why I believe there's a Ramban that says that that Sefer Torah has to do with Shemos Yalak Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. That's the same idea. But that's the basis, the foundation. But after that foundation, the next step is, how do I attain that goal of Yedias Hashem and living the perfected life? And that is, David HaMelech already gave the answer. Oslo Evosh Babiti al Kol Mitzvah. It means if you miss some mitzvahs, then the person will be embarrassed. Why will the person be embarrassed? What kind of embarrassment is it talking about? Embarrassment over here means philosophical embarrassment, true embarrassment. Person can be embarrassed if he does something that's socially unacceptable in public. It's an embarrassment. That's a social embarrassment. That's what the Rambam says. Like if a person isn't clothed or he does something that people laugh at, that's a social. That's not the busha he's talking about. That's simply a social phenomenon. But the real busha is when a person is confronted with the truth and he sees, why didn't I do this? Why did I ruin my life? I mean, it was very simple. If I would have done this, I would have had a chayim. That's the real busha. When a person does something that's foolish. And he doesn't live in accordance with Chochmah. That's the true busha. So Oslo Evosh means that if I understand all the mitzvahs, then I will be removed totally from busha. So that means basically what he's saying. He's saying pikudim, he's saying eidos, he's saying mitzvos. Every possible term for mitzvahs is used in that Torah. Every possible term is used in that perek. What does it mean? It means to say that if I don't understand the first parsha in Parshas Isha Kisas Ria, and that she's Tomei Fezayin Yomim, and then there's 33 Yomei Tahara, and that's for Zohar from a Kevat Shuayim, it's 2 weeks, and then 66 days, 40 days, and 80 days in the Kaporis and the Karbonis. If I don't understand these things, that I'm not just missing out on a Shulchan Aruch of Yoledes, but I'm missing out on the ideas on the ideas of a Derech HaChaim. That's what he's saying. That's what David Melech is saying. Missing out not on the Shulchan Aruch of Yoledes, because much of that Shulchan Aruch is only for Bisman HaBayis, Bisman HaMikdash. But the limud that you can gain from the whole structure of the mitzvah is a limud for every moment of a person's life. So Oslo Evosh Babiti Akol Mitzvah Secha means even mitzvahs that are not noheg bizman hazeh, for instance. That's why the Rambam would never omit kabbonis from the Yad HaChazaka. He couldn't, because Oslo Evosh Babiti Okol Mitzvah Secha. Even though Kabbonis were not Noeg in his Mana Rambam, and still are not Noeg today, but to the Rambam, the mitzvah meant more than just the practical performance. But in Kabbonis lies in every, in the air of Kabbonis, lies the deepest ideas with regard to the proper philosophical life. And that's knowing every minute. Okay. Yeah. After Chorban the bias, and Lakash Bracha Walam Ladalam Shalach means to say that it's true the bias is Chorab. True. But nevertheless, the ideas of the bias exist right now, and every halacha and every mitzvah, even though we can't do it practically, but if we don't study the mitzvah, then we will be embarrassed. What does it mean to be embarrassed? It means a vehicle of perfection will escape us. And therefore, because of the imperfection that we'll suffer, it will cause us to be embarrassed. But if we understand all the mitzvahs, then you see every aspect of human perfection. And that's basically the fundamental idea of Kol HaMitzvahs. Of Kol HaMitzvahs. Now, Kol HaMitzvahs is a totality. That's what the Rav said. The Rav said there's Tayag Mitzvahs as one entity, and then there's Kol HaMitzvah, and then there's each individual mitzvah. So there's 613 individual entities, but then there's the 613 as one unit. as one entity. Over here, Ozle Eloevosh Babitil Kol Mitzvah is referring to the whole, all the mitzvahs really teach ideas of perfection. If you understand all the mitzvahs, then no imperfection will be possible for you. And no perfection will escape you. That's basically what he's saying. So that's the puzzle. That's why the Rambam has those two psukim. The first pasuk is the basic direction, and the next pasuk is the method. The method is three ideas, kol mitzvos. Okay. So now the question is, how do we approach it? What is the method? And that's why I said important is to gain the method. Once you have the method, so then a person can proceed further. But the important thing is to have the basic method, the basic approach. And that's what I'd like to do today. I'd just like to try to open up a little bit the basic approach. The one that says this idea is really, I mean, we're dealing with Sefer Taras Kahanim. So it means to say karbonis. So the idea of karbonis, So the idea of karbonis, really, again, it's an area where people just think it's halach over there, it's mana bias, but really every carbon, the karbonis in general have an idea, and it means what he's saying, babiti al kol mitzvay secha, it means that there's an important idea behind the chatos, behind an ola, behind the shlomim, behind every single tzuras ha-mitzvah in karbonis. Zos toras ola. Every Torah, and the word Torah really means an integrated system of chachma. That's what the word Torah means. Zos toras ola, an integrated system of chachma. And that's why we say the Torah, because it means that the Torah is that all these subsystems really are subsumed under one total system, which is Torah. So every independent individual in the system, you see, is contains chachma, not just in halacha, but in a derech chachma. Okay, this idea, I know it's an idea that perhaps, you know, for the world sounds like it's strange. I mean, because people will look at, you know, they're drush. But you see that the Rishonim didn't look at it that way. The Rishonim looked at it as very significant, and that's why you see the Rambans and the Ibn Ezras and these areas. They say they try to direct people to this idea. I'll give you an example. Take a look at the Ibn Ezra in Vayikra. The beginning of a Yikra. Yeah, the Ibn Ezra is a kasha. He's bothered with the Sefer Taras Kahanim. And his kasha is the order. He says the Tom. It's in the Ibn Ezra Aleph, the first Ibn Ezra. I'm jumping down a little bit towards the end. He says, yeah. I'm starting from over here because I'm going to go backwards. Because the first part is based on this. Its first part is already assuming this. Silly. The Tam Lahaskir HaKarbonos Kodom HaMitzvos. He says, why does the Torah maskir the karbonos before the mitzvahs? What do you mean by the mitzvahs? Because you have many, many mitzvahs in Sefer Vayikra. Correct? For instance, in Kedoshim. You have all the mitzvahs in Kedoshim. It's like a small Torah. The beginning of Kedoshim, Chazal says. It has all the basic mitzvahs in one parsha. So I assume he's referring to that. Tam lahaskir karbonos kedem ha-mitzvahs. Really should start off with kedoshim to you. and all the mitzvahs, as you know, lo tiroh, and all the mitzvahs in lo tignovu, and the whole system, basically, is like a mini system in the beginning of kedusha. Okay, so he says the tam lahaskir kabonas kodam a mitzvahs. Why does he mention kabonas? The sefer should have really began with kedusha, because those are the mitzvahs. He says ki ashchino toshuv el makomo im lo shomru toras olah. Because the Shekhinah will return to its place if they don't keep the Torah Sola. What does it mean return to its place? It means, in other words, that we won't benefit from the Ashgacha. Okay, this place means means that it withdraws. It withdraws. Okay. The Chain, he says, the Chain, the Ibn Ezra says, the Chain Hoya. The Chain Hoya. He probably means, that there was bittul. In other words, the moment the Torah Sa'olo wasn't the moment the Torah Sa'olo wasn't kept, so then they lost the mitzvahs. In other words, v'chein hoya, that we lost the Middash because we lost the perfection of the Ola. V'chein hoya, and that's what happened. Because why did we go into Golos? Went to Golos not because they weren't bringing enough Kabbalas. Went to Golos because they lost the ideas and the perfection behind the Kabbalas. And that's true, and that's why the Navi always won. The Slayer Navi always won. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, Achafetz Hashem, Ba'elo Zvachem, I mean, that's the message of the Navi in many, many places. The Navi warned the people not to think that the Maisa Mitzvah are going to save them. If they lose the Torah, the perfection of the mitzvah, then everything becomes bubble. Now he says like this. Then he says like this. He says, V'cholilo cholilo letztarech la'ola. V'chein kosov. Im erav lo'amalach. The Pasuk says in Tehillim and Paragnon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need. He says, cholilo cholilo. Because the Ibn Ezra is concerned precisely the area that teaches the person the greatest perfection is always the greatest stumbling block for the fool. You see? So therefore, the way the Torah teaches the perfection through Allah, but a person who's unintelligent, like Ibn Ezra says, Lamnitna Torah El Elabale Asechel. So if a person is not a Baal Sechel, so then he could corrupt the whole idea, and on the contrary, he could misinterpret and think just the opposite. Cholilo cholilo litztarech la'ola. V'chein kosev im erav lo'omalach. I believe there's another edition of the Ibn Ezra where he quotes the pasuk in Dvarim. He quotes the pasuk in Dvarim where the pasuk says asher chelev zevachin mo yochel. He quotes this pasuk from Tehillim Nun and Nun Aleph, which the whole parak talks about the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not need kabbanas, doesn't want kabbanas, that kabbanas don't benefit him. And then he quotes the pasuk in Azinu, where the pasuk says, "Va'omar." Excuse me. I think it's in the. I'll check it if not. Okay. So thanks. So subject and a predicate, correct? That's a sentence. A sentence is always involved in the subject and the predicate. Okay, but in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you cannot formulate a sentence. It's ani, only a subject. That's what the pasuk means. Ki ani hu. That's you can't say anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because any predication would mean a denial of Yichud Hashem. You see? So therefore, that's what the Pasuk says. That's what he means when he says, Ani lo ashana. There can't be any change. If there's predication, then there's change. Say the man is walking, he's talking. The predication always means change. Of course, when you predicate, so then you say that this feature exists in this person, or in this what a subject. You see? But with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there cannot be any predication. Predication means, that's what Ibn Ezra says, Aniyu means there is no shinui. Because Aniyu, There's nothing more he could say. It's just a subject, you see. So therefore, the Ibn Ezra says, that is precisely, you understand? That is precisely what the Torah, what the Parshas Hazinu is telling you. Asher chelev zevochemo yochelu yishtu yenesichom, that they think that they can somehow or other effectuate a change of their fate through satisfying their gods. Or even if they think we're in relationship to our God, they have some idea, because the Novi says that Milo Yerocha Melech HaGayim, which means on some level, everybody recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu on some level, but if they think they think that they can effectuate a change, I mean, of course, the Pasuk is speaking essentially about Avodah Zarah, because that's really what the purpose of Avodah Zarah. The purpose of Avodah Zarah is because a person is concerned about his fate, and he thinks the only way he can do it is by changing, some, making a change in some force. So therefore, he worships Avodah Zarah. So the Pasuk says, but with regard to, that's Avodah Zarah. In contradistinction to Avodah Zarah, there is the Das HaEmes, which recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Anihu. You can't, there is no change, there's no predication, and the only thing you could say is the subject, the sentence. You can never finish a sentence. There's only a subject. Anihu. That's the end of the sentence. A repetition of the subject. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. He says, that is the idea, and he says, that is the idea, and that means that there is no way that man can change his fate by trying to effectuate a change in the source of his fate. The only thing he could do is live a correct life, and schar v'onesh, that's what the post says, ani anihu, ve'ein Elohim imadi, there's no other force, you cannot make recourse to any way to change your fate. Ani omos v'achaya, machatzdi v'ani erpo ve'ein miyadi matzil. The only thing that exists is schar v'onesh, that's the post. And other methods, which are the methods of the old day of Avodah Zarah, to change their fate by causing a change in the source of their fate, is Avodah Zarah. It's absurd and worthless. That's the Ibn Ezra. It's shot in the puzzle. It's not Jewish. But then he goes on. It's an interesting thing. He says, yes. He had nothing. He says, Hashem Elohim Nisi, but it's an open puzzle. And that's nothing. So a puzzle in the Torah itself is a certain priority. That's why I said the other edition of the Ibn Ezra, I believe, quotes this pasuk. It's pasuk in the Torah. You always quote a pasuk in the Torah before a pasuk in the Navi. Okay, but you're right. Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, the same thing. But over here, it's more dramatic. I mean, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi is correct, but it also means the same idea. I mean, the Navi elaborates on the idea of the pasuk, but here the pasuk is straight, clear. Okay. In the Chamisha Chum Shi Torah, you have the source in the Torah. You always go to the source in the Torah first. Now he says, the Ibn Ezra, I mean, we're just going to digress a little bit, because it happens to be a beautiful Ibn Ezra. He says, V'rabim omrim, he says, ki mizeh akosiv nilmot chayei ha'olam haba. He says, many people were astute enough to realize that from this pasuk, you can deduce chayei ha'olam haba. It's an interesting thing. He says, V'ho'eid, and the proof, she'omar betchilo omus v'achakach achayeh. Strange thing. She said, Ani achayev omus. Says, no, it says, Ani omus v'achaya. Which means to say that I will cause death and then give life. And you see, the end of the pasuk, mochatzdi v'ani erpo, is logical. It doesn't say, Ani erpo mochatzdi, wouldn't make any sense. So first, mochatzdi means that the person is afflicted, and then erpo, and then God gives the refor. Okay? There's no way to get around this. By the way, I mean, this is something we mentioned many times, and the pasuk corroborates this, that all these attempts to believe in various mystical cures and methods of securing your fate is all of Avodah Zarah, and that's exactly what the pasuk is saying. The ein miyadi matzil. If you're trying to get around the system of schar v'onesh, it won't work. There's no way to do it. I don't care what segula the person uses or what thing he does, what methods he tries. The pasuk says, "Ein miyadi matzil." There's no way to get around schar v'onesh, no matter what. And the derech, the attempts to get around schar v'onesh, the pasuk identifies as the method of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Okay, but anyways, he says like this. Ibn Ezra says, he says, va'acha kach achaya, v'chein Hashem memes u'machaya, v'ho'ed Hashem morid she'ol v'yal. Same thing. You find this. It's not just happenstance, but you see in the Navi it follows the same pattern. Almost va'achaya is one. Memes u'machaya, Hashem morid she'ol v'yal. It's in the Navi. Va'acherim omru mipasik va'achas dimchem l'nafshasechem. Rabbeinu Haizal Omar, he says, Rav Haizal kilo hutzrach hakosiv lefarish dvar olam haba. The pasuk didn't have to explain the dvar olam haba. Ki yadu batako, because it was known from before. That's why, because the old question, why doesn't the Torah talk about olam haba? He says, ulefi daiti. He disagrees. He gives another reason. He says, why? Very nice reason. Shatora nitlo lakol. The Torah was given to everybody. Lo le'echod levado. Not just to one person. Not to one singular individual. It reminds you of the Rambam, where the Rambam talks about the various kitos. And in Sanhedrin, and in Pirshu Mishnayis. And he says that the various kitos he has all the groups, I think the five groups, and he shows all the people in the various groups and their mistakes. But then he comes to the one group. He says this is really not a group in terms of number; it's a class. He says like the sun. There's one sun in the solar system. It's not it's unique. It's not you have many planets. You have many members. But in this group, he says, it's a group in as a class, as a category, but in numbers, it's really singular, because they're very, very few. Ibn Ezra says, it has the same kind of a reference. He says, it means it's a group which only has one member, okay? Or the members of a singular. When you only have a few, it's like it's not a group in numbers. It's like a few individuals. It's individual. So he says like this: Udvar Olam Haba, the idea of Olam Haba, lo yavinu echad mani elef. One out of a thousand won't understand it. Kiyomoku is very deep. Nice like this: Uschar Olam Haba. So I said the Torah is given for everybody. So therefore, the Torah can't talk about Olam Haba, because if the Torah would talk about Olam Haba like other religions talk about the hereafter, then we'll be talking about a fantasy and an imagination which everybody thinks they know what it is. The Torah can't talk about fantasies. So basically, that's what the Ibn Ezra says. The Torah could not use the idea of Olam Haba. Why? Because if it used the idea of Olam Haba, people would think it's the same kind of a fantasy that other religions are talking about when they speak about a hereafter. So yeah, it's pure imagination and pure fantasy. That the Ibn Ezra wouldn't say that one out of a thousand don't understand it. Everybody understands that. As a matter of fact, I mean, you know, there was a time when people thought that the whole idea of Olam Haba came later. And you see, the Torah didn't mention Olam Haba, so they thought people made it up later, religious people, because they wanted to convince people to be religious, spend their lives in religious practice, so they made up Olam Haba. Till they found out that the most primitive societies all have an idea of a hereafter. I mean, in Stone Age, man believed in a life after death. Egypt, you don't have to go further. Egypt, primitive society, I mean, of the Avodah Zarah. So, on the highest level. But that, you see, the Torah specifically omitted it, because the Torah did not want a person to think it's making reference to that which is fantasy and illusion, and which doesn't exist, and therefore the Torah simply omitted it. It could not use it, you see. But then he goes on, he says like this. Yeah. Now, Avas Hashem is a mitzvah that only very few people will truly be mekayim. That's true. So he's not saying, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. He's not saying that the Torah can't give any mitzvah which is above the average man. Otherwise, it would be a simplistic system. Okay? No, the mitzvahs can take a person I'd kisei hakavod. I mean, the mitzvahs can take a person to the highest level. That's the purpose of the mitzvahs. But the Torah cannot use something which is which on the contrary would appear as a fantasy and an illusion and misdirect mankind. You see, to say Yichud Hashem, hey, say Avas Hashem, all right? So a person doesn't understand it. He does it on some level. Some level, okay. But Avas Hashem can be done on the highest level. If you look carefully into the Pesukim, you'll see, you learn the Chazal, you'll see how to make the mitzvah on the highest level. Doesn't mean the Torah can't give a mitzvah that can be performed on the highest level, otherwise the Torah wouldn't be a system of perfection. But it means with regard to Olam Haba, Olam Haba is not a mitzvah. Olam Haba is a phenomenon, a metaphysical phenomenon. The Torah cannot make reference to something which everybody would think that it's making a reference to something which is imagination. And therefore would mislead people, and people would be doing the Torah for the wrong reason. Because they'd imagine that they're going to exist after death the way they want to, the way their fantasy and their imagination wishes to, and the Kol HaTorah Kula will be completely, people will be totally misled. So therefore the Torah cannot possibly use that kind of an idea. I, the Torah, has many ideas, you understand, that are on, let me finish Rebbe Nezer, you'll see what he says, because you have to understand. So yes, anyways. Glorifina echad moni elef, ki omoku, very deep. Uschara olam habo, tolui bidvar haneshama. It depends upon the soul, the perfection of the soul. V'hineyu chelef avodas halev. He says, and the reason why a person is ochad olam haba is because of the avodas halev. V'avodaso, what is the avodas halev? Lizboni ma'asei Hashem. To simply contemplate the ma'asei Hashem. Ki heim ha'sulam lalos bo el ma'alas das Hashem. Because that's the ladder, the ma'asei Hashem. To go to the apex of the ladder is Das Hashem, Shehu Ha'ikar. Okay, now he says like this: Malachei Hashareis, V'chein B'Mizmor Livnei Korach, Shimuzos Kol Ha'amim, V'asod Achalakim Yivde Nafshi Miyat She'ol Ki Kocheni Selo, V'chein. What is he saying? See, the Torah is a system of mitzvahs, but the Torah also wants to teach besides the mitzvahs, maisios, and besides the chachma and the mitzvahs. But the Torah, of course, has metaphysical ideas as well. But because the metaphysical ideas are extremely significant. But the Torah can, you see, he's saying like this. He says, it's really there. Where is it? It's in Sefer Bereishis. Olam Haba, really, essentially, if you ask the Ibn Ezra, where is Olam Haba? It's already was made reference to in Sefer Bereishis, where it says, Vayashkin Mikedem Legan Eden Esakuvim, V'eslat Acheravim Esapeches, Lishmar is derech eitz hachayim. So the Ibn Ezra is like this. Now when it comes to mitzvahs, the Torah gives all the mitzvahs, roads to perfection. So that, of course, not everybody can mekayim avas Hashem on the highest level, but okay, this is some level. He learns, he says Krishna twice a day. Also, it's a level. But when it comes to the, aside from the mitzvahs, when it comes to metaphysical ideas, over there the Torah has to be very careful. You see, because it would seem at first sight that he's contradicting himself. Of course, first he says that only one out of 1,000 will understand it, so the Torah doesn't talk about it. But then he comes back and he says, but it is, but you see the Torah already made reference by the Eitz HaChayim. You see? But he's uncovering really, if you listen carefully what he's saying, he's really showing you the method of Torah. The method of Torah. What is the method of Torah? See, the Torah does not, there's two things. There's mitzvos, and as I said before, mitzvos are things that can be performed on the lowest level and on the highest level. Okay? V'aftes Hashem lekecha is really as Rabbi Akiva was mekayim that mitzvah, the highest level. And a plain person goes to shul, he says Krishna also mekayim mitzvah. But of course, there's a world of difference. But that's the nature of mitzvah. But then there are, as I mentioned, there's mitzvos and then there's dvorim. Asher yishe yishe sheyishmal mitzvasecha v'sarascha dvorcha yosam aliba. So dvorim is really a much broader category. Ideas, metaphysical ideas in the Torah, and that's simply that those are things which are a part of a mitzvah of limud haTorah. They're objects of limud haTorah, but those are ideas. Those ideas the Torah cannot disclose in a regular manner. Because if the Torah would disclose it in a regular manner, so people, foolish people, would think they know what it means, they get the wrong idea, and then the whole of Yahadis would Cholila be like Christianity, where people spend their whole lives because they're waiting to go in the pearly gates. I mean, this would be a total churban of the whole objective of Yahadis. So the Torah cannot use Olam Haba, because it's something which can only be understood by Echod Monei Elef. And the whole world, the whole religious world, that thinks they understand it, they are basically have the same idea as a Stone Age man who also believed in a hereafter. That's simply because a person doesn't want to die. A person doesn't want to die, so he fantasizes about continuing to live. That's a nonsensical idea. It's a denial of reality. But there is a true idea of Olam Haba, which is a different concept, and you can't understand it unless you understand the neshama and the perfection of the neshama, and that's something which only is Echad Mani Aleph. And the Torah was not given, that's what it means. The Torah was given for everybody. So the Torah has to consider, in the way it's written, that it shouldn't say anything which misleads people and destroys the whole das. All das will become a simplistic, nonsensical das. Can't do that. The Torah can't do that. But nevertheless, the Torah is aware that there is such a thing as a chacham, an individual. What about that one person? So the Torah, if the Torah had to make a choice at that point, the Torah would say, okay, Torah gives all the mitzvahs. When it comes to this thing, can't talk about it. But if you're going to talk about it, people are going to think they know what it is. They'll get wrapped up in an illusion, and that's the end of the whole perfection. But he says the Torah didn't stop there, because the Torah also is concerned about the one person, very, very concerned about the one person, because as a matter of fact, I mean, the one person may be the purpose of the whole Torah. So Moshe Ben Shokel, Shokel, Kenega Kulam. So in a sense, the one person is the most significant of God's creatures. So the Torah did it in a way that no harm will take place, because it used a method where it's disguised, and therefore Chacham will see what it's talking about, will uncover it, but the average person will simply miss it. He'll miss it. He doesn't know. He'll have a sense that it's some allegorical kind of a thing. That's why the Eitz HaChaim, nobody really, Eitz HaDa'as, people talk about Eitz HaChaim, people don't really talk about it. It just kind of slips by people. There's some allegory, something, and I don't know. So it doesn't cause anybody any harm. The average person reads through it every year, his Mavis Edra, doesn't cause many harm. But at the same time, he says, the Chochom will understand what it means. And he just gives a little bit, talks a little bit about it. Interesting. He says, "V'hine yesh koach lenatzeach hakruvim, v'ochel meitz achayim v'chay la'olam k'malach yashores." He says there it's a clear reference to Olam Haba. What does it mean? What is lenatzeach hakruvim? What is the kruvim? What is the? So he tells you what he means by this. Interesting. Yesh koach lenatzeach hakruvim. He says, really, you see that man v'ata pen yishlach yado v'ochel v'chay la'olam. So on the one hand, the Torah recognizes that man has a desire to live forever. And now, perhaps they're trying to be menatzeach the kruvim in the biological sphere. that's what the world is at now. But you see the Torah recognized that once he ate from the Eitz HaDa'as, the next step is the Eitz HaChayim. But the kruvim, but what prevents man from entering that domain is two things, the kruvim and the lat achar ha-mesapechas. So you see the Ibn Ezra, so the Ibn Ezra explains what are the Kruvim. What are the Kruvim? He says the Kruvim, if you look in Bereshis, He says the kruvim are the kruvim. He says the word kruv is found in Navi to mean in a lot of places. Kruv can mean a shore, like in the by the Navi sees a vision of a shore and he calls it a kruv. So Ben Ezra says that every shore could be a kruv, but not every kruv is a shore. Because see, the kruvim have different things. It says, what is the kruv? It says, the kruv is the universal behind the forms, behind every form. An ox, a man, a dog. The kruv is the universal of the creation. In other words, he says, it's a malach. It's a physical, a representation of a force that exists. That exists in nature, a force that exists in nature. Malachei Chavala. Chazal says the same thing. Malachei Chavala. It means it's a force. It's a force. You see, that's the term Malach really means a force. Some people are perplexed because the term Malach means a force, but it also means an intelligence. So it sounds like it's a kind of, what is it? I mean, gravity is a Malach. Osa Malach of Ruchos. The wind is a Malach. So Meshosav Eishloi. So you see, the Navi refers to a Malach many times as a force, but then there's also Vayera Lov Malach Hashem, and which implies Nevuah, and then there's also Misharsav Shalom Zelazay Yemikon Kavado, and they say Kiddush every day. The Malachim are intelligences. So what does it mean? So the answer is, people are disturbed by that, but the answer is very straightforward. What it means is, yeah, there are intelligences, but intelligences don't do anything. They're all forces. All the intelligences are created in order to as a means for the creation, but they themselves have no powers and are nothing in and of themselves. They just create. That's really why the word malach is used to signify both, is to be lahotzi milibam from those that think that there's an intelligence, and this intelligence somehow should be worshipped, or we should try to access him in order to help us out. See, that is clear. That's why the Ramban says, Chazal say, why weren't the Malachim created on the first day? Beautiful Chazal, why weren't the Malachim created on the first day? Because if they were, people would say they helped God create the world. Okay? Which means to say that people have a tendency and a desire to deny Ein Od Milvado. There is a part of man that wants to deny that, looking for something else. So that's why the Torah. And the Ramban says similar. Ramban says the same thing. He says that's why the Torah didn't mention anything about the creation of the Malachim, because people would immediately become of Devarzah. So, oh, there are forces here. That's it. So. And Chazal and Ramban say the same thing. It's double portion. That's it basically. But that's the answer to that question, because people get confused. They think, why does the word Malach mean two different things? The answer is precisely because it's one thing. It doesn't matter if he has intelligence or not, but his purpose is only to, he was created by God for a purpose. It's a shlichus. He has a shlichus. So he's no different than a wind, basically. You understand? That's why the word Malach has both meanings, to show that the Malach has no power. You see? So lo sin flos gedolos vado. That's it. That's why after you mention the Malachim, you say lo sin flos gedolos vado. That the only he does things. These are created. It could be they have intelligence, but insofar as their ability to do anything, it's only what God tells them. They're completely under God. They don't do anything of their own. They're not prime movers. That's the concept. So at any rate, so kruvim. That's why kruvim could mean. He says kruvim means the forms. So it means to say that there are forces. That's what the pasuk is showing you, that man has a desire to eat from the Eitz HaChayim, but the kruvim and the la tacher ha-misapeches stops him. The Ibn Ezra says the la tacher ha-misapeches means that it's a double-edged sword, and the kruvim are holding the double-edged sword. So according to the Ibn Ezra, it's one marshal. It means a double-edged sword means any way you go, it gets you. So you get this way, that way. It means you can't escape. That's the marshal. So it means that the physical forces prevent man, that there are physical forces, malachim that exist, that will never permit man, no matter how much he advances, to ever have life beyond the prescribed amount of time they're supposed to exist in this world. You see, that's really what that's what the pasuk says. Vayashkin mikedem legan eden esakruvim veslat acher v'mesapeches lishmor es derech etzachayim. That's what the Ibn Ezra says it means. It means that no matter how far he advances, no matter what he does, you will never be able to get by those forces that God created that prevent them from unlocking the secret that would allow them to have eternal life in the physical form. That's basically what the means. It's an interesting thing. The Rambam in his Agdama to the Moreh Nevuchim has a different idea. He doesn't say about the Kruvim, has a different idea of the La Tacher HaMesapechas. Different idea. You got a Rambam Moreh Nevuchim? In the Friedlander edition, it's on page 3. Again, I say the Friedlander edition is the translation is terrible. It's not reliable. But anyways, I'm using it as a reference point because it is a good reference point. So he says like this. He says, yeah. He talks about it. I'm not going to go through it, but he talks about the man's knowledge. And he shows that man, even the greatest man, his knowledge is really, he never really understands. Yedias Hashem is, not only is his Yedias Hashem never complete, his perception can never be in a constant manner. So an interesting rumor. That it's not just that Yedias Hashem, you can never understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that goes without saying. But even the act, the involvement in the process of understanding could never continue on a steady line. It's always broken. Intervals. You see, he says like this. He says, do not think that these most difficult problems can be thoroughly understood by any one of us. This is not the case. And then he says like this. He says, we are like those, though beholding frequent flashes of lightning, still find themselves in the thickest darkness of the night. On some, the lightning flashes in rapid succession, and they seem to be in continuous light, and their night is as clear as the day. This was the degree of prophetic excellence attained by Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Avata Par Mori Madi, and then he says, that's the idea that Korador Ponov. Karna Pranav reflected the idea that he was this individual that was in the constant lightning flashes. But you see, he says it looks like the flashes are in rapid succession. They seem to be continuous light. It's amazing, but they're not. It's very important. The Rambam's Marshal, very important. It means to say it seems that way to an observer, but for Moshe, but that's not the case. It's really very. The intervals in between are very, very short, so they're not visible, but the intervals are there. See? Which means to say, man by nature cannot even be involved in the process of Yedias Hashem on a constant basis. It's intermittent, because there's the constant battle between his nature, the instinctual forces that are drawing on his energies, and the involvement, in the pure involvement in Yedias Hashem. And they never really go away. It's not like he says, don't make a mistake and think that they go away. They're always there, but it's possible to have smaller intervals where it appears like it's constant. But it never is really constant. The nature of the constancy is a constant struggle and a battle. And the side, even in Moshe Rabbeinu, the side of perception is winning constantly one time after another. It's an amazing marshal. But anyways, so he says like this. Then he goes, he says, but then there are those, he says, that by others only once during the whole night is a flash of lightning perceived. This is the case with those of whom we are informed. They prophesied and they did not prophesy again. By Yisnabu v'lo yasafu. So what does that mean? What do you mean? Were they Nevi'im? Were they not Nevi'im? It's good question. Well, if they were Nevi'im, why didn't they have it all the time? If they weren't Nevi'im, so why did they have it then? No, by Yisnabu v'lo yasafu. What does it mean? So the Rambam explains. He says there are people whose nature is such that given a certain situation they will be able to be in that state. But without the situation they'll never make it. So then the situation can arise once in a lifetime.
Possible. That's the case in the Torah by, what's that? By Eldad Omeda, Misnabim Bamachana. Because that was the time of Ashura Shechina. It was the perfect time for them. They were on a level where at that moment, the instinctual was not able to overpower, and they were able to see a moment of Nevor. One lightning flash, and that was it. That's what Rama explains. So he says, there are some to whom the flashes of lightning appear with varying intervals. Others are in the condition of men whose darkness is illuminated not by lightning, but by some kind of crystal or similar stone, or other substances that possess the property of shining during the night. And to them, he says, even this small amount of light is not continuous, but now it shines and now it vanishes, as if it were the flame of the rotating sword. So he learns lahat. There's a machlokes what the word lahat means. Does lahat mean sharpness, or lahat means fire? So the Ibn Ezra learns that it means sharpness. So he says it's a double-edged sword, which means it's the inescapable forces that will never permit man to gain access to having eternal physical existence. That's what he learns. But the Rambam learns something different. He says the kruvim is one thing, but he says the lahat acherim is a peches is a reference to something else. What is that a reference to? He says there are people who never see the light, but they see like something like a gem or a stone that produces light. What does that mean? What is he referring to? He means there are people. My example would be of people who have attained knowledge of ethics, ethical knowledge, for instance. So ethical knowledge, but without the source of ethical knowledge, just the kind of an ethical knowledge. There is a knowledge. He will tell you how to live. It's foolish to for a person to indulge in excesses. And I mean, there are ethical ideas that are correct. But that kind of knowledge he likens to a stone, like a bright stone or a crystal, because that's not really light. Real light is only Yedias Hashem. But if a person has knowledge of Yediyah and Derech HaChayim without the source of Yediyah Hashem, it's a light. You can't say it's nothing, but it's not the light. It is simply like there is light there. The reason there's light there is because since there is Chochmah in that area, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is the source of the Chochmah, but the individual who's availing himself of this light has nothing to do with the source. You see, it has nothing to do with the source. So that's like a stone. Like a person, the stone is something which contains light, you see, but it's not the source of light. So that's the Rambam's mashal. So a person, for instance, who has knowledge of psychology would fall into that area. Psychology, ethics, those kind of subjects, there is truth there. It's light, it's like a stone, but it's not the source, so it's not the real light. See, it's just a reflection, like a reflection of light. But then he says, those people, he says, amazingly, he doesn't stop there. He says, those people are under the lot of Chereva Misapechas, which is the sometimes they see it and sometimes they don't. What he's saying is, in that kind of knowledge, it's impossible to be constant. In that kind of knowledge, you can't be constant, because such an individual really has no knowledge of Yedias Hashem. It's just like a kind of knowledge of ethics. They have to slip. Because the emotions, the instincts have to overpower them, and then they can reassert themselves, but they go up and back. The lahat acherav amesapechas. That knowledge will be with them at some times, but then when the emotions become powerful, the knowledge is gone. You see? Lahat acherav, he says, that's the lahat acherav amesapechas. So according to the Rambam, what the Rambam is saying is, the lahat acherav amesapechas is telling you that what is one of the things that guard the way of going back to the Eitz HaChayim? It's the fact, one is the kruvim, the forces, the malachei havala, the forces that God created to prevent the person. But a person himself is involved in not being able to go back. Because it means he could never really return to Gan Eden in any sense. In other words, it's impossible for a person to have a good life based on ethics. That's what the Rambam is saying. In other words, the life, the Derech HaChayim, you see, it's all a mushal. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. That part of the Torah, the Ibn Ezra says, is really Chaye Olam Abba, because he says there really is a method of being menatzeach these kruvim. If you look at the pasuk saying, in this world it's not possible. But the implication is you can be menatzeach the kruvim. You see, the whole allegory is, it's clear to a person that has a sensitivity to the allegory. You see that the Torah is talking about a time where Adam failed, and now he can't go back there. But it's trying to say that is a situational problem. The Torah puts it into a situational kind of a way. But he says, the Ibn Ezra says, but if you listen carefully to the way it's phrased, you see, the Torah is also telling you there is a way to be menatzeach these kruvim. It's not a permanent thing. What's the way? Chai olam haba. That's what the Ibn Ezra is saying. But the Rambam is saying something different. The Rambam is saying that this is a mashal for a derech hachayim, where a person would have not just physical life eternally, but even to be able to have a life of Gan Eden, even for a short time span. That God didn't allow that either. That a person can never have a good life based on knowledge of psychology or knowledge of ethics. Never, it'll never happen. Because it's a lot of cherva mesapechas. What happens is, he gains the knowledge and he thinks he's going to go on the right track and he's going to do such and such because he has knowledge, but then all of a sudden it's mesapechas. Now he sees the light, all of a sudden it vanishes, and he does, and he gets lost in frustrating activities and he can't keep up to what he wants to do. You see, he could map out a plan, he's going to live this way, this is going to be an intelligent life, and he knows what he's supposed to do, but that's nice at the time. Then he was in view of the Eish, of the light. But then a day later, or even sometimes a minute later, he doesn't see it anymore, and now he goes back to a life which gives him frustration. According to the Rambam, the La Techer V'Mesapeches is a different idea. It's a different idea. It means that God didn't allow man to have a satisfying existence based on a kind of knowledge of psychology and ethics. He did not allow him to have a satisfying existence. The only existence is a knowledge that's based on Yedias Hashem. That is the only existence. Yeah. See, in the marshal of the light, what he's saying is it's possible they should be in such close proximity, each flesh, that it looks like, it appears like a constant. It's very significant, he says that. But over here, it's not possible. Over here, you can't have the la d'cher v'mesapeches in a constant succession of fleshes. It's not possible. Because there you're dealing with a different kind of knowledge and a different kind of adam. On that level, he's going to be, you see it, and then he won't see it. Sometimes he sees it and he has a plan for his life, it's going to sound very good, and if all he has to do is work this out, but then it doesn't work, and then he loses sight of the light. But in contradistinction to Yedias Hashem, where the fleshes could be so close in succession that it appears like it's constant. The mechanism is not constant, but it appears like it's constant because that's Yedias Hashem, is a different kind of, qualitatively different kind of existence. That's the mushroom. Okay, I'll tell you what. Mitzvahs, the Rambam's choice of a psukim in the beginning of the sefer. So why did he choose the pasuk of the pasuk from Tilum Kufiyates? Oslo Evosh Babiti Alkol Mitzvosecha. So we said, because what he means is that in the mitzvahs, you see from the fact that he uses it that way, that expression that way, Oslo Evosh. So Busha can't be related to the fact that you simply don't know the mitzvahs. It's called Tarkulis. It's a big limud. And most people cannot even finish a fraction of the mitzvahs. So what does it mean, Oslo Evosh Babiti Alkol Mitzvosecha? So we said that in mitzvahs there are two things. There's the technical structure of the mitzvah and the chachmas chazal in the dinim, the infinite chachma in the halachic system. That's something a person can never finish. And if a person doesn't finish, there's no busha. And if he knows Seder Nezikin, wonderful. Now, if he knows one Seder, he understands it, he should be very happy. So there's no busha. But the busha is because from the pasuk you see that mitzvahs have a different kind of a role as well. That every
Okay.
Wow.
Will it be there?
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
Okay. So mitzvahs have another role as well. And that each mitzvah is really a vehicle of perfection for man, a vehicle of perfection for man. And all the mitzvahs together really incorporate every possible route for perfection. And if a person fails one mitzvah, so he's failing in an idea that will lead him to perfection. And to lead him to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lead him to Yedias Hashem, Avas Hashem, and the Yisod of Kol Tarkula. So that's where the role of Busha comes in. In other words, Ozlo Evosh means that if a person misses a mitzvah, doesn't mean the mitzvahs in terms of the framework of Halacha. In the framework of Halacha, like I said, it's impossible. But and there's no Busha, like the Gemara says in Brachas. That's why he's crying. If it's because he didn't learn enough, can't finish it all. But if you miss a mitzvah, if you don't understand the mitzvah, and you had an opportunity to learn from the mitzvah, how to perfect yourself, so then it's a busha. That's a busha because the person is lacking. He's deficient. As a human, where is their real busha? The real busha, like we said last week, is not a social busha. The real busha is when a person is almost like he's got covered, and he realizes how he missed his target. He could have attained perfection, and he thwarted it. That's the busha. So the question is: apparently, there's a whole different idea of mitzvahs here. That mitzvahs come under two frameworks. The limud halacha, but besides halacha, there's something else in mitzvahs that everyone has to know, and there you have to know all the mitzvahs. Then it's not enough to know many of the mitzvahs. You have to know all of them. In that framework, you have to know all of them. Okay. So the question is, we're talking about Parshas Tazria. So the question is, our question was. Where can we find an approach? Where do we find such an approach to mitzvahs? Okay. Ozlo evosh babitio kol mitzvah secho. But the question is, we have to have the approach. There has to be a derech and a method to uncover these ideas and to learn how perfection is derived from mitzvahs. So, of course, there's only one source that we go to, and that source is Chazal. And it's interesting. There's a Gemara in Lamed Aleph on the Beis on last week's parasha on Tazria. Gemara says like this: Lamed Aleph on the Beis Nida. And I think that when we understand Chazal, it will give us a derech and understanding similar Chazal also. A lot of Chazal like this, but sometimes you know the Chazal, but you don't quite grasp what they're trying to convey. The Gemara is like this: Shalu Talmidav es Reb Shimon ben Yochai. So Talmidim es Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Mipnei ma amra Torah Yoledes mevia karbon. So why is it that a Yoledes has to bring a karbon? What does she do wrong? Why does she bring a chatas? Amar lahen b'shor shekaras lele kofetzes v'nishbas shelo tizokek labayla. So when she has the pain of Leda, so then she makes a shvua. She says that I'm not going to live with my husband anymore. You see. So the Gemara says, "Lefichach omra Torah tavi karbon." Okay, tavi karbon. And then the Gemara says, "Kasha maskav Rav Yosef v'amei zidohi." Vod karbon shvua bo yisui. Gemara has a couple of questions. So she's mazed, no chatas is on shogeg. So and od karbon shvua bo yisui. So really she shouldn't bring this carbon. She should bring the carbon shvua, the carbon for bitus fasayim. Later in parsha vayikra. So but the Gemara continues. Gemara doesn't say anything. The Gemara continues. The Gemara goes on. Why did the Torah say that Zohar, there's a that you made Tumah for Zohar as Shiva, and you made Tumah for Nekeva as 14 days? So the Gemara says, Zohar shakol smechem bo misharetes l'shiva. Nekeva shakol atzovim bo mischaretes labasa. Okay. So the Gemara says that in other words, it depends how long it takes her to realize that she made a mistake. She shouldn't have made that shvua. So by a zohar, so psychologically people are happy with a zohar. So therefore, so it takes her less time to get over her mistake. Half harat. But in the Keva, it takes a longer. It takes a 14 days. Okay, and then the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says a few more of mipnei maz. Same kind of thing. So because the Yemei Tumah should pass first before you have the Mishnah. Okay, of course, Bismana said that it doesn't make a difference. We halachically we're knowing that we treat everything like a Zavag Dollar. And we're machmar and dam taro, so it seemed that the going against the tama kosef. I mean, as soon as the chacham came along and they made chumris, and now the tama kra is gone. I mean, it's an interesting thing because it's an nemam ratara. So shelo you call smechem vehematzavim. Yeah, but now it's going to be there. That's exactly what it's going to be. Nevertheless, you see the halachic sphere isn't interrupted by the fact that this is the mitnei ma'am ratar. It's an interesting thing. So you see that Chazal here are on a different wavelength. I mean, Chazal, somehow or other, they're telling us something, but what they're saying requires some iyun in order to dig out what the concept is, because it seems on the surface, Asid Rabbanon Mevatel Daraisa. Okay. Yeah, and the Gemara goes on. The famous Gemara, Tanya, Hoy Rab Mei Omer, Neimam Ratara Nida L'Shiva. Why did I say 7 days Nida? Neisher Rogil Ba VeKotzba, because he's used to her and she's liable to become disgusting to him. Amra Torah to Hate Mei Shiva Yomim, so she should be tummy for 7 days. Kedei Shetech Aviva by La Kishas Knisas L'Chupa. Okay, so that's a famous Rab Mei. Again, I mean, it's a difficult to reason. I mean, that's the reason the Imam Ratar, that's the reason why the Torah gave this halacha. Yeah. But really, what are Chazal saying? Chazal are teaching us an important idea. The idea is the following. That from the mitzvah HaTorah can be derived ideas and concepts which really guide a person throughout their life. And those ideas that the mitzvahs portray go beyond the practical performance, you see. It's not tied to the halacha. The halacha is a different system. Halacha operates in its own sphere. But the tam ha-mitzvah, the oz lo evosh babiti o kol mitzvah secho, is a separate limud of mitzvahs that stands in its own right. And if a person studies them properly, he will gain ideas that will guide him throughout his life, not just the specific halacha. So what are Chazal saying really in Tazria? How are they explaining the pasuk? You see, what they're saying is as follows. What they're saying is, I mean, let's take a look again. Neimam Ratara. So Bishosha Karas Lele Kofetzes Finish Bas Shalot Yizak Labaila. Doesn't mean that every woman makes a shua. Obviously, it's not true. It's simply not true. So how could Chazal say it if in fact it's not so, that women don't really make shuas? I mean, some maybe do, but most of them don't. What Chazal are saying is as follows. Chazal are telling you that the mitzvah teaches you a significant idea. And that is that under when an individual is in a state of pain and stress, the person is in a different state of mind vis-a-vis perfection. In other words, that mental states play an important role in how a person is engages himself in the process, you see, of attaining perfection. It means that physical pain, when the woman faces the pain of labor, and that's be'etzav tel dibonim, so that's a pain that a woman experiences, and it's not just for a woman, but really the limud is for every human being, not limited to a woman. It means that when a person is in a state of physical pain, he is not in a state that is suitable or conducive to perfection. And that state is one which is a harmful state in the sense that it makes it more difficult for the person to face perfection. And a person has to recognize that. A person has to know himself that there are different states of human existence, and one must be very vigilant and very careful to recognize the state and to recognize the impact that state has on the individual's perfection. It's interesting. The Torah singles out this case. There's another case also. What is another case? Similar case as this. And that's by Zacharonikev. And that's by Nozir. What does Chazal say? Why is a Nozir Chayev Chatos? Al Shehizir Atzmo Min Hayayin. What does it mean? It means to say that a state of self-denial is also a state in which for a human being, it is not conducive to perfection. Doesn't mean that it's not the right thing to do at certain times. Sometimes you must make recourse to Nazirus. But at the same time, the person must recognize that this is not the proper state of Avodas Hashem. It's interesting. Torah singled out two states, the physical pain of the Etzav Tel Dibonim, of Yishiel Ledes, and also a psychological state of pain where a person is denying himself, is in a state where they deny themselves something which is mutter, basically. Something which is beneficial. Because Chazal maintained that a certain yayin is good. Yayin samach levavenosh. So it means a state of denial is one that's not conducive. And the person must, what does the carbon chatas show? The carbon chatas shows that the reason for the carbon is not because of the specifics. You have to understand when the Chazal talk, they speak very briefly. They just give you the idea, but you have to expand it. What Chazal is saying is that a person must be wary. A person must be wary and must not think that it is totally in his power to attain perfection, and external states don't play any role because he's able to do it regardless. That's folly. That's nonsensical. A person must be totally aware that psychological states impact on his progress to attain perfection, and he must be wary of that state. The chatos is not, this chatos is not for an avera. Doesn't mean that every woman does that. The chatos is not for an avera. The chatos is because the individual, the korban is there because the individual was in a state that they were removed from attaining perfection. That's what the korban is there for. And that's the same reason that Chazal gave for the korban of another. So a person must be wary, must understand that such is the case. You see, and then there's something else you see Chazal saying. Why 7 days for Zohar and 14 days for Nekeva? What is Chazal saying? Chazal is saying a second thing. That a person must also know that if an individual undergoes such a state, to say that the state, when the state is over, that you're back on track, and now you're just like you were before, is also wrong. But there's a process of recovery. There's a process of recovery. That's why Chazal say 7 days for a Zohar, 14 days the Torah says for an Akeva. It means that you have to be aware that there are elements and there are factors that can cause an individual to have recovery from that state. And you must measure, the person must have knowledge of himself and must know that there are, now he was in a bad state, there's a time for recovery. Recovery is a kind of a period where the individual must be aware that he's in a state of recovery. And there are different elements that can cause the person's recovery. Over here, because it's a zachar, so the woman is more happy, a kol smechin, everybody's happy when it's a zachar. And in spite of today's position, that's a teva adam, it's human nature. And the zachar is a kol smechin bo, and therefore the recovery period is less. So there are factors, elements that play a role in the recovery. Amazing thing that the Torah is giving an individual insight that he must constantly analyze, must be introspective, and must analyze what's going on in his inner world in terms of what state the individual is in, and also the nature of the recovery, the process, and how much time the process takes. And you see, the korban comes after 40 days. So you see, beyond that, the state of recovery from the zohar and the nekeva is only something which counteracts the immediate pain that the individual underwent. But then after that, until the korban is brought, it's either 40 days or 80 days. So it means after the individual underwent the emotional, psychological state, and then the emotional and psychological recovery, then the person has to go through a process of waiting and analyzing and bringing oneself back to the state in which they can be omid lefnei Hashem, and that's when they bring a karma. That's really what Chazal is saying. Mitnei ma amra Torah. Chazal don't just say things. Chazal are really showing us that's Oslo Evosh Babiti al Kol Mitzvah Secha. That Chazal are very realized that in every mitzvah, in every halacha, even in the technical halachas of Tazria, Isha Ki Tazria, which would seem to be completely just technical, you're making a mistake if you think that in this area there aren't the most profound ideas that guide a person throughout their life. And it's not just tolerating in the specifics. Doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man. The limud is exactly the same. Oslo Evosh Babiti al Kol Mitzvah Secha means a mitzvah for Noshim. If you don't know that mitzvah, then you'll suffer the consequences of Busha, because the limud is for every Adam, every human being. It's not just for the person that the mitzvah relates to specifically. Every single mitzvah is a limud for every Adam. Kol Yamav. Yeah, and that's the mitnei ma. You see, mitnei ma amra Torah does not mean this is the reason. Mitnei ma amra Torah is giving a reason, a benefit that an individual derives from the mitzvah. And the same thing is true with the mishnah, with the zohar l'shiva. Why is it, the Gemara says, that people shouldn't be happy when the parents are in a state of atzvos, are depressed because they can't be together? So it means that a person has to have a sensitivity for another human being's state. And a person must know that sometimes you want to make a simcha for somebody, want to make them happy, but if there's something in their personal life, and there's not a tragedy, I mean, okay, So there's this and either. It happens very frequently, many times a year. But it means to say it's inappropriate for you to make a simcha when you know there's something there that is disturbing these people. This is not a time, not an appropriate zman for simcha. So the Torah teaches an individual, human being, to have a sensitivity towards others, not to be self-centered, and to realize that if you're doing chesed,